We turn in sacred scripture to 1 Peter chapter 5. The text is 1 Peter 5 verse 7. But we first read the chapter in its entirety. First Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So far the reading of God's holy and infallible word. The text this evening is 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, everywhere in the Bible, God gives his people encouragement to pray. Listen for a moment while I give you just a few verses, a little smattering of the encouragement to pray found in the Bible. In Psalm 50, verse 15, God says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee." In Psalm 102, verse 17, we read, "God will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer." In Psalm 145, verses 18 and 19, we read, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them." In Jeremiah 3, verse 3, God says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee." In Luke chapter 18, Jesus gives an entire parable in order to emphasize how God's people ought always to be praying. In Luke 18, verse 1, we read, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." At the end of the letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul writes this: "Be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." At the end of the letter to the Colossians, Paul emphasizes the same thing. Continue in prayer, he writes. At the end of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, he writes, pray without ceasing. Over and over, the Scriptures encourage us to pray. Here this evening, we look at just one more verse where we are encouraged to pray. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7, we read, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And what we should be mindful of is the fact that in all these verses, it's not just Paul encouraging us to pray. It's not just the psalmist, David, or Jeremiah encouraging us to pray. It is God Almighty, God Himself, your Creator, who has shaped and fashioned your heart and your mind, who knows you more intimately, who knows you better than you know yourself. He says, pray. God Himself, your Redeemer, your Heavenly Father, who loves you, who knows what your struggles are, who knows your daily griefs and anxieties, and who knows what is good for you, He exhorts you with strong exhortations, pray. Always be praying. Sometimes we need that encouragement. That's why the Lord gives us this encouragement over and over again. Sometimes we need this reminder. And so that's what we have before us tonight, a strong encouragement to pray. We take as our theme, casting all our cares upon the Lord. And we look at that theme under 3 points. First, the command. Second, the reason. And third, the benefit. The command in verse 7 is this: casting all your care upon Him. Now that might not sound like a command, but it is a command. And we know it's a command because it's intimately connected to verse 6. And in verse 6, we have the command, we have the imperative, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. That's the main part of the sentence, and that's the command. And then in verse 7, we have the attending duty. We have what needs to follow, what needs to go along with humbling ourselves. We must cast our cares upon the Lord. So it is a command. Humble yourselves, casting your cares while you're humbling yourselves. To understand this command, we must ask the question, what are cares? What are our cares? That first of all, and then casting our cares. In order to understand the word care, we again need to look back to verse 6. Verse 6 and 7 go together. In verse 6, we have that command, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And as you are doing that, as you are humbling yourself, cast your cares upon the Lord. And that's how these two verses fit together. And so to understand the text, in order to understand verse 7, we need to understand verse 6. We need to ask, what does Peter mean when he says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God? So we look for a moment first at verse 6. To humble ourselves means that we acknowledge that God is God over our lives. To humble ourselves means that I recognize that I am not my own. My life does not belong to me, but my life belongs to God. Our lives belong to God not only because He is our Creator, but because of who He is as our Savior and Redeemer. He is the one who owns me, and He is therefore the one who rules my life. He is the one who directs my life. He purchased me, and He has a purpose with my life. It is His life to do with as He sees fit. That's what it means to humble ourselves. And to humble ourselves means, then, that we are not seeking our own wills, we are not pursuing our own purposes or living for ourselves, but it means we are the servants of God and we are seeking His purposes with our lives, and we are servants also for one another, for Christ's sake. That's the opposite of pride. To be proud is to be self-seeking. To be proud is to seek my own pleasure and my own personal advantage. And that's pride because I'm having this view that I should be living for myself. My glory, my pleasure, my welfare. To be humble is to esteem others better than myself, to serve for others, to seek their welfare, and to be subject one to another. And to be humble ultimately means that we acknowledge that God is the one we are to live for. He is the one who deserves all my strength, all my praise, all my obedience, and then I actually live that way. That's what humility is. But then what does verse 6 say when it goes on and says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God"? What it is referring to there is the fact that the saints to whom Peter writes were suffering. They were suffering, and they were especially suffering because of persecution. That's even clear from the chapter itself that we read, and it's much clearer when you look at all five chapters. But in chapter 5, verse 9, for example, we read, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." When Peter says the same afflictions, what Peter is indicating is that the saints to whom he's writing were suffering afflictions. And in verse 10, we read, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while." And when Peter says that, he's indicating that the saints have been suffering for a while already. And he's putting it in soft language. After you suffer even more, may the Lord perfect you. So what Paul means by the mighty hand of God is the sufferings God's people experience in the world. And it includes then not only all our persecutions, but includes all our sufferings, including pain in the body, sickness, crises, and emergencies. And Peter refers to it all under the term the mighty hand of God. All the trials and struggles we go through are the trials and struggles God sends us by His providential hand. And so we can refer to it as the mighty hand of God. Yes, there are the enemies that persecute us. There are the diseases that afflict God's people. We can point to many specific things, but in the end, it's all under the rule and superintendence of our Heavenly Father. And when Peter says, then, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God," Peter means we must humbly confess even that all our sufferings are sent to us by God. God who is the sovereign Lord. And whatever God is pleased to send us, we are to receive it with patience, with trust, and even with praise. When God sends us persecution, when He sends us sickness or pain of one kind or another, we are to receive it as part of His good will for our lives. We are to humble ourselves by submitting to His will for our lives, and even seek His praise and glory in the midst of these sufferings and difficult circumstances. We humble ourselves by embracing God's rule and providence over our lives, and by embracing His commandments as we walk through these struggles and circumstances. That's what verse 6 means. And I explain verse 6 in detail because it helps us understand the command in verse 7 to cast our cares upon the Lord. And it's helpful because verse 6 teaches us then two things. First, it tells us when we are to cast our cares upon the Lord. When are you to cast your cares upon the Lord? You're supposed to cast your cares upon the Lord at the very same time that you are humbling yourself and seeking to embrace in the deepest recesses of your being God's rule and God's purposes and God's commands for your lives. While you are striving to be God's faithful servant, while you are responding to His providential dealings with you and the circumstances in your life, while you are striving to do His will and love your neighbor and submit yourselves one to another, walking in humility, at the very same time as you do all this, cast your cares upon the Lord. When? And then second, verse 6 is important because it tells us what cares the apostle has in mind. The cares Peter has in mind are the sufferings we experience, the tribulations and trials we go through as we live under the providential rule of God. Whether that be persecution, sickness, pain, heartache, spiritual struggles, these are the cares we are to cast upon the Lord. Every care you have as you walk your pilgrim journey, every care you have as you live as a stranger, living under God, following God's will for your life, seeking His glory, every care, all care, you are to cast upon the Lord. In fact, the word that Peter uses for cares by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is the word we could translate as the word anxieties. Cast all your anxieties upon Him. Cast all your worries upon Him. Cast all your concerns upon Him. The saints to whom Peter was writing had their fair share of anxieties. They were being persecuted. Their faith was being severely tried as their homes and their families were being ripped apart. They were living each day in the awareness that they were not wanted on the earth by their neighbors. They were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They had anxieties. Peter says, cast your anxieties on the Lord. We have cares too, don't we? We have anxieties as well. What are some of our cares? I don't know what all your cares are. Maybe you came to church tonight with certain cares and anxieties. Maybe you have concerns, cares about your daily needs. Maybe you're beginning to think about the crops for the coming year. Maybe you're thinking about your daily need for work and how work is going. This is exactly why we have a prayer day service, because we have these real earthly cares about our daily bread. And because we desire God's blessing on the labor of our hands, and we want Him to give us the crops and bless the labors of our hands, we have cares over our work, all kinds of cares. Maybe we have the cares for something like school tuition, a concern for many families. Families who are happy to pay it, but nevertheless they have to carefully plan ahead and think about it. It's a care they have. Some maybe have cares about the cost of medication, hospital bills. These are real cares. Maybe you are aging. You wonder how things will turn out. Will I be able to live comfortably all my days? Maybe you have concerns over your family. Parents have concerns over their children, all kinds of concerns. Oftentimes concerns that they don't even want their children to know about. Maybe concerns about how their children are doing in school, academically or socially. Husbands sometimes have a deep concern over their wives when they see their wives struggling. And wives sometimes have a deep concern over their husbands as they see their husbands struggling. All kinds of struggles. Maybe we're busy raising a large family. Maybe we're busy caring for aging parents. Maybe we're busy coping with psychological issues. We have cares. Maybe we have spiritual cares. A besetting sin in my life that I need to get rid of. An unhealthy, a sinful habit. A lack of a good habit. Maybe I see how Satan is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour, and I feel my own spiritual weaknesses, and it's distressing and perplexing. Maybe you are struggling over the guilt of your sin. Maybe you have cares for the church. Maybe you're an office bearer. You have those cares. Will the church remain faithful? Will she stand in the evil day? There are all kinds of things over which we have no control. All kinds of things which God sends us by His hand of providence. Painful experiences we go through that Peter's referring to as the mighty hand of God. And all these things raise up cares and anxieties in our hearts. We have real worries. Cares. These are. We're striving to submit to God's way. Striving to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. God sends difficult things. I have heavy responsibilities. I have a heavy workload. I have a tight schedule. As a result, I have cares. I have concerns. Yes, sometimes in the day I have anxieties. What are we supposed to do with these cares and anxieties? What God tells us in the passage is this: cast your care upon the Lord. Cast your care upon the Lord. Well, what now does that word cast mean? It's very striking because there is only one other place in the New Testament where this specific word is used. And that is in Luke 19, verse 35. In Luke 19, we have the account of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem just a few days before His crucifixion, the Sunday before He's nailed to the cross. But before Jesus enters into Jerusalem, He needs to make the proper arrangements. And so He sends His disciples to fetch a young donkey, a colt. And we read that the disciples bring that donkey back to Jesus. And we read in Luke 19, verse 35, that the disciples brought the donkey to Jesus, and then they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. Now that's very striking. The disciples had their outer robe, their garment, their outer robe. And they took this outer robe off of their shoulders, off their own shoulders, and they cast it, they draped it over the donkey. And then Jesus sat on the robe on the donkey. That's how I picture it. Now you might say, well, why is that so striking? Well, it is striking for this reason. When the disciples cast their robes upon the donkey, it's very clearly to be understood that these robes were no longer on the disciples. Right? If the garments were placed on the donkey, cast on the donkey, then the garments are no longer on the disciples. And the point is, there was a transfer that took place from the disciples to the donkey. They cast their garments on the colt. There was a transfer. It's that same word that's used. That's exactly what we need to do with our cares, our anxieties. Just as the disciples cast their garments on the colt, so we need to cast our anxieties and cares upon the Lord. And if we cast our cares upon the Lord, that means our cares are no longer on us. A transfer has taken place. The cares are off our backs. And the point is, God doesn't call us just to go to Him and complain and whine about all our anxieties and cares, and then finish our prayers, still having our anxieties resting on our own shoulders. But God commands us, get rid of them, cast them on Me. Put them on the Lord. Have Him wear your anxieties. Have Him carry your burdens. Make a transfer so you are no longer carrying those anxieties and cares. Put it on the Lord. So then what does the word cast mean? It means bring your cares before God, take them off your shoulders, and put them on the Lord. Make your cares God's responsibility. Put your burden of anxiety on the Lord so that the Lord has to worry about it and not you. Make the transfer. Say, here, Lord, are all my concerns. And not only are these things outside of my control, but they're too heavy for me to carry. I ought not worry about these things. It's no point in worrying about these things. And thou dost call me to put these things on thy shoulders. Thou art my burden bearer, and I trust thee. And so all my worries and concerns, let them be thy worries. After all, thou art the sovereign one. Thou art the one alone who can do anything about my cares and my concerns. So I leave these things in thy hands. You know that. Your cares and anxieties are like a weight on your shoulders. Scientifically, they say that. A person carries his stress on his shoulders. Put that weight on God. Let God carry it. Hand your concerns to the Lord so that they are His worries and responsibilities. And how do we do that? Well, we do that through faith and through prayer. Those are the two hands by which I pick up my worries and I cast them to the Lord. The hands of faith and prayer. It's through faith and prayer that I lay my cares at the feet of Jesus and I say, Heavenly Father, I lay these things before thy throne. Receive these things through prayer and carry them for me so that I no longer carry them. We need faith. We need faith on the one hand because it's by faith that we will trust God to carry our anxieties for us. And then we need prayer because it's by prayer that we actually make the transfer. And it's by prayer that we actually cast our anxieties upon the Lord so that they are no longer on us. So God says, while you are submitting or while you are humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, while you are submitting to His hand of providence, sometimes going through difficult circumstances, cast your cares upon me. This is a command. This is something God requires us to do. This is something we must do. Why? What's the reason we have for doing this? Well, the second half of the verse says, for He careth for you, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Literally, we could translate it this way, casting all your care upon Him, because to Him is care concerning you. To Him is care concerning you. Why are we to cast our anxieties upon the Lord? Because everything that causes legitimate anxiety for you is of deep concern to your Heavenly Father. God is not indifferent to your earthly circumstances. God cares for you. What you are going through matters to God. He's your Father. When the child of an earthly father is struggling and has many concerns and worries, it matters to his father. It matters to both his parents. How much more so isn't it the case with God, who is our Heavenly Father? This is something we need to appreciate, beloved. So often I can say, why does it seem so difficult for me to cast my cares upon the Lord? Why is it so hard to make this transfer and let God carry these burdens that I'm not supposed to be carrying? Well, I can number off a few things. It's so difficult because what we often struggle with is being humble. We struggle with being humble. We struggle against that mighty hand of God. Instead of seeking God's purposes and God's glory, I'm pursuing after my purposes in life, my glory, my dreams, my ambitions. And I can't do that and be casting my cares on the Lord at the same time. You cannot be rebelling against God's will and casting your cares on the Lord at the same time. So that, first of all. Secondly, and this is perhaps saying the same thing with different words, it's so difficult to cast our burden upon the Lord because we want the control. This is why I worry. This is why we become anxious, because we feel in this situation we are not in control and we want control. And what we have to recognize is that God is in control, and therefore I don't need to be, because my God is in control. Those are two reasons it's so difficult for us to cast our cares upon the Lord. But ultimately, you put it all together, ultimately the problem is we have a hard time actually trusting that God cares for us. We have a hard time believing the Scriptures when it says God cares for us. The deepest issue is my faith. Am I trusting God? In prayer, when I'm bringing my petitions before God, am I actually putting my trust in Him? And here's the issue. In direct proportion to my confidence that God cares for me, in direct proportion to my confidence that God cares for me, I will perform this command of casting my cares upon the Lord. I will only cast my cares upon the Lord to the extent that I know He cares for me. To the extent that I know God cares for me, and that God is almighty, and He is all wise, and His word is true, and He's faithful to His promises. To the extent that I know these things, and I am embracing these things, I will be able to cast my care upon the Lord. This is why I need to emphasize to you tonight, beloved, that God is not indifferent to you. He loves you. He cares for you. To Him is care concerning you. Your cares, your situations, your anxieties matter to God. He is a father. He is a parent. A perfect father. When His children cry, God is the Father who cares for His children and who comforts them and who seeks to wipe away their tears. God is not against you pouring your heart out before Him. God is not against you expressing your anxieties as if you should be ashamed that you are anxious and worried. No, it's not as if God speaks to you as an insensitive father and says, big boys don't cry. It's not as if God says, repress your fear and your doubt and worry, push your cares and your anxieties deeper inside your soul. No, He says, bring them to me. Cast your cares upon me. Pour out your heart before the Lord. Unload your burden upon me. Because I care for you. Furthermore, God is almighty. He's sovereign. He says it. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. He is able to turn everything to our profit, and He's promised to do it. You can leave it in the Lord's hands, and you must. Indeed, can you conceive of one who is more worthy of your complete trust than God? He who knows the end from the beginning, shall He not know your daily needs? He who is almighty, shall He not be able to work all things for your salvation? He who loved you from eternity, shall He unto all eternity ever stop loving you? He whose compassions fail not and whose mercies are new every morning, shall He faint in showing you His mercy and faithfulness? Now there's also this reality. There are some anxieties that God will not bear, because there are some anxieties that we should just cast away. Not cast upon God, but cast them away. There are anxieties, we need to recognize this too. There are anxieties that arise out of a greedy heart. anxieties that arise out of my carnal lusts and carnal ambitions. I'm worried because I'm craving after these earthly things, and I've made these earthly things my idol, and God is not pleased to give me these earthly things. That's coveting. We need to cast those anxieties away. We need to ask God to take those anxieties away. There are also other anxieties. We want to call them anxieties that we are called to bear in a certain sense. There are cares in the sense that there are responsibilities God gives us, and He says, bear up nobly under these responsibilities. Quit yourself like men. To cast your care upon the Lord doesn't mean we get to abandon all our responsibilities and duties in life. But the point is, in all our responsibilities and duties, there are a host of things we cannot control. And all these things we cannot control, all these things we must cast on the Lord and entrust into His keeping, and do so in the knowledge that to Him there is care concerning us, even in these responsibilities He gives us. How do you know He cares for you? Well, beloved, this is exactly why it's so important to know who you are in Jesus Christ and to remember your identity in Christ. Behold how God cared for you when He sent into this world His only begotten Son, so that He might unite Himself so completely to our nature, so that in it He could bear away forever the wrath of God's justice over against our sin, your sin. See how God cared for you when that mediator, Jesus Christ, bearing your guilt, descended into the abyss of hell as your substitute, so that you might enjoy life everlasting with God, your Father. Peter emphasizes it earlier in the letter of 1 Peter when he says in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And now you are the adopted child of God. You are a Christian, are you not? Therefore, a miracle has been wrought within you. You are the regenerated child of God. And the only explanation for this reality is the fact that God has cared for you from all eternity, electing you unto salvation, even before the foundations of the world. Again, we remember the words of Romans 8. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He forgives your sins, beloved. He delights to forgive your sins. You are His children. You are His precious bride. You are the apple of His eye. You are His affection. And so whenever you feel yourself under that mighty hand of God, even then, especially, remember that He cares for you. You may not be able to fit together how God cares for you with all these difficult things He's doing in your life. But rest assured, beloved, He cares for you. In all that you are, He cares for you. So cast your cares upon the Lord. Humble yourself before Him. Throw your anxieties and your fears heavenward, and let God take care of them. You don't need to worry about anything. Your Heavenly Father, Father loves you and cares for you. This is an important word, beloved, because when we receive this word, there is a great benefit that follows. And this is very important for us to recognize. And it's very important to recognize because it again reminds us of the crucial importance of prayer. Because someone might ask, what's the point in praying? What's the point in me praying if praying about this doesn't change anything? Sometimes we're tempted to ask the same questions. I go on my knees and I pray. And I pray and I finish my prayer and I open my eyes and I stand up and I walk my way. And nothing's changed in my external circumstances. And maybe the reality is things will never change in my external circumstances over what I've just prayed about. But do you know what the reality is? The reality is, through prayer, something has changed. No matter what, something has changed. You have changed. You've changed as a person. Because before you went to God in prayer, you had all these burdens and weights on your shoulders weighing you down. You were anxious. You were barely able to function. You were barely able to do the work God was putting before you and carry out your responsibilities because you were so weighed down with all your cares. But now through prayer, through true prayer, you've cast your cares upon the Lord. You've cast those weights and those burdens upon the Lord, and the result is you don't have those cares on you anymore, those anxieties, because you've prayed. Because you've prayed, and you've cast those burdens upon the Lord. How important that is. God exhorts us to pray exactly for this reason. When we have cast all our cares upon the Lord, such an enormous weight falls off our shoulders. We're free again to carry out with renewed strength the callings that God has given us. When we've cast our cares upon the Lord, knowing that He cares for us, there is a peace that passes understanding that floods our souls. And we are content and satisfied even with the heavy hand of God, the mighty hand of God, and how it's directing my life. We are able to withstand better, more valiantly, the temptations of the devil and fight sin. How difficult, beloved, it is to fight against sin when I have a 100-pound weight on my shoulders. But when that weight is lifted off, now I feel like I have extra strength to fight against sin and do what God is calling me to do. When I cast my cares upon the Lord, I can bear up more enthusiastically under the responsibilities God has given me. And I can even live humbly in relation to my fellow Christian and live for His service, serving one another, as verse 5 mentions. It's when we've truly cast our cares upon the Lord that we can go forward planting our fields with seed. That's what the farmer needs to do every spring. He puts his whole life savings back into the field. What anxiety he must have. But he does it because he's trusting the Lord of the harvest. We trust that the Lord will bless our efforts. We trust the Lord will provide. I don't need to worry. I can rest in the promises of my covenant God and the care of my Father. And then I can set myself fully to do His work with zeal. And on top of that benefit, not having these cares weighing me down, this worry, I have this confidence too, that God will grant me whatever I've asked of Him in faith. Not only do I have these cares on God's shoulders, but I know that God hears my cries. And I know He will grant me what I've asked of Him in true faith. My prayer is not in vain in the Lord. Beloved, what an encouragement to pray. 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 Be a people. Be a man. Be a woman. Be a boy. Be a girl characterized by prayer. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, Thou hast given us Jesus Christ so that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Thou hast given us prayer exactly for that purpose, that we might enjoy the abundant life found in Christ Jesus. Lord, give us Thy Holy Spirit that we might ache always to pray, and we might do so and never put it off. And may even that joyful exercise of prayer be what equips us and strengthens us for each day that Thou dost put before us and the callings that Thou dost give us. Strengthen our prayer lives, we implore Thee. Use this preaching to that end. Apply it to our hearts and our lives, our hearts and our families and the congregation as a whole. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.